Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined by Denny Carter and Kyle Dvorchik, and a special guest, Mr. Patrick Herrain. You may know him from such former places of employment as this website, and he no longer works here, but he's still our very good friend, and we have him on all the time, specifically to talk best ball. So today's Major League Baseball opening day, to demonstrate the health of the Major League game, we are going to draft a football team on opening day. Because it's all anyone cares about, Denny. No one cares about this.
Yeah, listen, the state of baseball is so strong that no one is talking about anything but baseball's best player maybe having a gambling problem.
Yeah, it's true. I might have a problem. Pat, how are you doing?
Is it a it's just a gambling problem when it's millions and millions of dollars?
$4.5 million.
It's 0.0001% of the man's net worth.
Right. I mean, in context, it's like Will Zalatoris destroying my life today in showdowns.
It's extremely similar to that, Denny. We were
actually
all
financially thing. Irresponsible for Shohei Ohtani not to gamble $4.5 million. Like, his financial advisor said that you got to be gambling more this morning. The interest rates are still kind of low. Right. You need some action on this stuff, man.
You don't want your money on the sidelines in this kind of market. Sure, get it out there.
He's hiding
the
money,
high,
so it's
right?
Not taxed, right?
They're higher. I mean, they can't go any lower than what they were at. What were they, 1.75? I mean, come on.
Now, I was under the impression that baseball was saved because Kyle was in a fantasy baseball league. Is that not the case?
I already hate this. I opened up the league, and there's like 40 names of players on my roster. I don't know any of them. A bunch of them are already hurt. I feel sick.
So, yeah, Kyle has... doing his part. So you had a bunch of tickets too, didn't you, on some of these?
Yeah,
sites?
I drafted a few best ball teams too, and I felt just as sick drafting those, but I don't have to manage those. I'm now locked into managing a season-long baseball team for the next 2.5 years, because that's how long every one of these seasons is.
Dude, Kyle, if you just fill out a lineup every day, you will win the league.
Yeah. Is this true, Pat?
No, Denny thinks it's like attending college. As long as you go to class, they give you an A.
I mean, that's my
experience. Go to like any of my classes. That doesn't help.
My experience is if you just have a full lineup every day of the season, you automatically win.
Wow, what a fun format.
Patently false. And for all the people who are just sickeningly obsessed with numbers, I am sickened by your refusal to play fantasy baseball, where there are more numbers than God. I don't know if that makes any sense.
I'm not getting religious here.
But more numbers than God in fantasy baseball. Kyle mentioned best ball. That is what we're here to do. All kidding aside, Pat, in addition to being our good friend, you can truly say is one of the best ball players in the entire country. Had another good year in 2023. I know you're already drafting for 2024, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to jump in the quote, big board on Underdog. They usually have better names. No offense to our friends in Underdog, but usually we're getting in like the pit bull or the baby mastiff. Yeah, I don't know about the big boy. I feel like they should.
No, Pat, keep going. You got a few more in you.
The Pomeranian, that's a real one.
That's a real one.
There's a bunch of those. Yeah.
No, what's that really real yappy, annoying little dog?
The Yorkie.
Not the Yorkie.
Danny, what kind of dog do you have?
Lhasa Apso. Lhasa Apso. That's what we need. The Lhasa Apso.
I have my dog is called a Cotton de Tulier. Underdog, if you're listening, we need a contest called the Cotton de Tulier.
Stunned silence, because that's the dumbest thing we've ever heard.
Wow. I had no idea that the anti-French sentiment.
Yeah, they should just stick with the big board if that's what's wrong. What it's going to be.
We're like 4 minutes and 30 seconds into Crane's first show back in a few months, and we've already derailed it entirely.
Right, hold on, I'm gonna share the screen here because you got me getting ready.
I thought you were gonna share pictures of Demi's dog. It's a very cute dog.
Ziggy's really cute, wouldn't stop barking on the phone earlier today.
Oh, good boy. Wow.
And he actually only barked like one time, too. It wasn't a big deal, but any Pat, Kyle, Denny, any thoughts before we get into the big board? Anything we need to share?
I have some thoughts real quick. I found recent risers in best ball and Underdog, and I am dubious of a couple, if I could just quickly name them. One, Rico Dowdle has risen 38 spots over the past 2 weeks because the I guess Tony Pollard signed elsewhere. I guess that's the reason. Come on. We've been here. We've done that. We're too old for this. We're too old to buy into this. No one can possibly think that Rico Dowdle will have any kind of real role for this team next year.
With the Rico Dowdle pick, they're already like positioning the laborers. Like you get there for the rug pull. Like it's a big, I mean, put that guy's a little stronger. Put him there, and
yeah, I'm actually fully in on the Rico Dowdle pick.
Really? But, I think this is in part Pat and I's fault.
This is actually, Kyle is too. We the thinking is that this is a weak running back class. The best running back in the class, consensus, and in my opinion as well, is Jonathan Brooks, who tore his ACL in early December, I think December 2nd. So if he, and now he actually has a interesting little tie. Stephanie Miller clued me into this. He had his surgery done by the Cowboys team doctor. Okay, so they have better information on this guy's ACL than anybody. If they were, let's say, to take a Jonathan Brooks, they would need some early season production out of their existing guys. And like all the running backs have basically been signed. I guess you have J.K. Dobbins, so he's coming off.
Say all the running backs but one. May remember a man who goes by the name of Zeke.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, that would be a rug pull. But essentially, the Dowdle play is not that he's going to be super productive. It's that he looks like a clear number two, and he's going like right next to Tyler Algier. So it's like he's Tyler Algier, but a chance for a little bit more early season production if they were to draft Brooks or if they were to draft one of the other running backs in this class who are all pretty middling to weak prospects. So it's the competition is going to be too fierce here.
That's a really great argument that completely destroys everything I just said.
Well, no, Vinny, you do one thing. You do counter : it's Rico Dotto.
Yeah, that's
listen. This is why I'm not winning millions, and Crane is winning millions. I will say though, I was on this show many times last year, with my mic being threatened. They were threatening to cut my mic off, saying that Rico Dowdle is much better than Tony Pollard. So I just want to be on record
on that. Yikes. You're Tony Pollard.
We'll welcome you into the fold. Tony Pollard on the Rico Dowdle team.
Tony Pollard, who had the good manners to come on this show. This is how you talk about him.
I mean, I wanted Rico.
Nice. I really hope Tony Pollard didn't add this to his download list after he was on the show.
Something tells me he might not have.
So, one other thing. We have Deontay Johnson climbing 18 spots. He's going 77th overall on Underdog. No thanks.
Yikes. Yeah. What do you say to that, Patrick? Do you have an opinion?
No, I'm more with Denny there. I mean, I'm not like out on Johnson, but we have him a little bit behind ADP in the leg up ranks.
Guy who was absolutely loving life under Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph. Like, he can't wait to be catching balls from Bryce Young. That's all I know about.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
I mean, and like, I hate saying this, but like Adam Thielen is still there and has a connection with Young. Like he's there. He exists. He's going to play out of the slot. Like he will be out there running routes. Like Deontay Johnson has almost like met his match maybe with Adam Thielen. I mean, it is a little Spider-Man meme, right? It's like they're both going to like, I'm going to get open 4 yards downfield.
You know like, what? I just passed. That's what I'm going to do. When you know what I know we will earnestly hear this year? Dave Canales, the new Panthers coach. I know we are going to earnestly hear from people on Twitter. Well, Adam Thielen is in the Mike Evans role. In the Mike Evans role. Man, 10 to 12 touchdowns last year.
Yes.
So we're going to hear about Thielen being in the Mike Evans role.
Wow. It is interesting how I liked how you guys handled the Ridley and the Chase role conversation on the pod. But it is just funny. Like, you know, Calvin Ridley to run similar routes to Jamar Chase. Therefore, is he Jamar Chase?
Ironically, this worked out with Nico Collins last year. We got the he's going to be in the Julio Jones role. And like, wasn't Julio Jones, but damn good season.
We got the Patrick Daugherty role. I'm going to hit enter on the big board here. Say I got. Do I want to do the? Do I?
Do 8 I hour clock, and we have to
do, I want to do the 8 hour for a few weeks. For the 30s. I use up all of our StreamYard space. We're still drafting 9 days. None of us have slept. Denny somehow has a full beard.
We did this once on Ship Chasing, and tried to coach the draft forward. It didn't work. It eventually stalled.
All right, I believe I'm just gonna make sure I've got 30 seconds selected. All right, I'm hitting enter. Do I want to? Yes, I want to enter the big board. Come on, what did I just hit? Oh no, you must build rankings for you can enter a contest.
I think if you set rankings, you just have to adjust one player.
Yeah.
All right. Well, of course, I think Tyreek is better than CeeDee Lamb. How do I do this, guys? I can't drag and drop.
Plus, next to McCaffrey there.
There we go.
And your rankings are done, buddy. They look great. CeeDee
Lamb. No, I think I'm going to put Jamar ahead of. There we go.
Okay, that's a bold take. I like that.
All right, what do I do next? Sorry, this is very
riveting. Go back to drafts at the top.
Podcast. Drafts. The big board.
$10. You want to hit the biggest board there.
Enter. I will be entered. Money will be deducted.
There's actually a button on the top right called deposit that if you just drop a few grand in there, we can really start firing. True.
I would have had to deposit to enter the $100 yappy.
I know where the deposit button is. That's one thing I know about this.
If you're listening in audio form, which most of you are, we will do our best to keep you abreast of the draft picks. But actually, this would be a really good moment to get a word from our sponsors. And of course, our first sponsor is us. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that we are not closing in on opening day. It is MLB opening day, but it is never too late to squeeze in another draft. So for those cramming before the regular season really gets into swing, grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a home run. Visit NBCSports.com/draftguide. Use promo code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout. Really waiting for this draft to fill, Pat. You said it'd be fast.
Well, when we were vamping, we were kind of just vamping and hanging out, I thought you'd already hit enter, but we realized we had not. But so, we can review positional. You had some questions about structure.
I always have questions about structure. Because I always remember easily.
Yeah, Pat, you said it was just good to go over for the listeners. It's something we all are familiar with, but you thought listeners.
Yeah, exactly. All four of us know perfectly.
Please, Pat, take it away.
Yeah. So 2 to 3 quarterbacks, 4 to 6 running backs, 4 to 7 receivers, 2 to 3 tight ends, usually, right?
That probably could have been a little higher in the receiver number, but I think that's about right.
I would say everything.
Yeah, 4 would be low. 4 would be very low on the receivers. Yeah.
Can start 4.
I'm just trying not to get laughed at by best ball guys. Can we just do that?
Sam Sherman parked outside my house, just literally laughing at me. Not a big fan of that, Sam. I'm going to be honest. Sorry, what are you going to say, Pat?
I didn't think Sam would be catching strays on this one.
No, I'm catching strays. He's laughing at me.
These drafts are 20 rounds. As opposed to in the summer, they're going to be 18. So that's one thing to consider when you're thinking through, you know, how many
and
running backs.
And I'm screwed. I don't even know 20 players.
other interesting thing about this format is we are drafting the rookies. Obviously, they haven't been drafted yet, but that's kind of part of the fun. So we're trying to predict, you know, I would say less landing spot and more draft capital is you want to kind of factor in what the expected draft capital is on these guys. And I think there's some opportunities where guys who are like, I don't even like some of these prospects that much, but they're probably going to be, you know, second round picks at worst, and you can get them pretty late.
Well, and people have been talking about, rightfully so, on Twitter lately, I believe an Underdog employee, Hayden Winks, that the data point that matters by far the most is always real life draft position. And it doesn't matter like how good the relative athletic score is, how productive they were in college. If they're a fourth or fifth round pick, they have chance of success in the NFL. It's just much longer than the first or second round pick for not just talent and skill reasons, but teams are biased in favor of people who are top 80, top 90 picks. And that's, I totally think draft capital is what we would focus on right now, rather than trying to forecast where so-and-so might end up in the draft. Pat.
I think generally like one thing, if you're drafting this time of year to help, like a way to kind of help you is to try to imagine how you yourself will feel in the summer when someone has been drafted. So like Xavier Leggett is a player who I'm not like super into his fifth year breakup, but I know that if he's drafted in the late first round or the early second round, and I think he ends up going in the second round, if he's a second round pick in a decent landing spot, I will be interested in him in like the 12th round. you know, or even like the 11th round. So therefore, like, I basically think he should be going in the 12th round, because in the future, I will think that in the very likely outcome. So just trying to, I think that's helpful with players who are not like as excited about the prospect profile, knowing, hey, that draft capital looks very likely to come. And once it does, all of a sudden you'll be like, oh yeah, okay, I'm cool with this guy. So at that point, maybe try to mix him in at this point as well.
Can I just real quick, I'm sorry to shift here. I meant to mention this guy earlier with risers and fallers. Drake London has gone to wide receiver 14 from wide receiver 18 since Cousins signed with Atlanta. That still seems reasonable, if not low, to me. Do you agree, Pat, or am I off base here?
I've had trouble with the Falcons one. I think I got a little anchored to where London was going before, because the leg up ranks had him ahead of ADP the whole way, but I actually didn't anticipate that people would be as excited, because I thought Cousins was going there already. So I don't know. It like took me a minute to kind of get on board with the new, like, no, like, middle of the second round kind of vibes. But I get it. I mean, it's flat. Like, after I would say, like, after kind of Kyren Williams comes off, or, you know, Nico Collins has kind of moved up into the early second, like, I don't really have strong opinions there. So if you were to say, like, I'm basically taking Drake London at pick like 14 or 15, it's flat enough that where you could get away with that. In my mind, he's not even going that high. He's going to pick 22. So right. We've moved him up to pick 17, kind of with the thinking that he's going to continue to rise.
Well, the draft is rolling, and people are draining the clock for some reason. Christian McCaffrey, 1-1. People running it back. Jamar Chase, 1-2, for some reason. CeeDee Lamb, 1-3. Is Tyreek Hill falling a thing this year, Pat? Are people thinking he can't have yet another career year? Or is this just a fluke?
That's a little bit of a fluke. Chase usually goes 4. People are taking Lamb over Tyreek consistently. But it's I guess the ADP is 2.5 for Lamb, 3.2 for Hill. And sometimes you will see Hill go 2.
I think that might be more like Tua Tagovailoa fatigue than anything else. Like, people are remembering yet another Tua second half fade. They're remembering them as not being competitive in the wild card round in Arrowhead Stadium, which is, Denny knows, every podcast I somehow work in like 4 minutes, and now the Dolphins might as well have not even gotten off the bus in Kansas City.
It's one of the most pathetic performances in recent memory.
It really was. Tyreek 1-4, Justin Jefferson 1-5, Pat's guy, Breece Hall 1-6. That leaves us with, hey, Pat, what do I even do here immediately? It's going to be Bijan, Amon-Ra, Puka, AJ Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs. We're feeling very saucy. Tell me what to do, please, for the love of God. Bijan went 1-7.
I normally go Amon-Ra here, but you could go Puka too.
Amon-Ra just feels too big to fail to me in any format of fantasy, because they haven't fundamentally changed their offense. The role is going to be a money printing role, like, no matter what. They didn't bring in meaningful competition. It's still the same style of offense. He plays through injuries. They ran back a Jared Goff career year, and it worked. I'm feeling pretty good about Amon-Ra at 1-8.
Kept Ben Johnson.
Yeah, they did keep Ben Johnson. Well, man, wow, that was one of my favorite storylines. It's already totally faded. How Ben Johnson remained in Detroit. Is he a total jerk? Is he dumb? Did he interview poorly? Does he not like money?
I think the thing was, he likes money a little too much.
Yeah, that's true. Does he like money far, far, far too much? So Amon-Ra, Puka is going to be a guy I feel like we talk about all summer. Going clearly ahead of Cooper Kupp, then A.J. Brown went after Puka. Is it safe to say he should be a no-doubt top 10 pick, or are we overreacting there?
I mean, I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing in the metrics suggests that anything was fluky last year. Just crazy domination.
Puka Nacua, also a friend of the show. Denny was much nicer to him than Tony Pollard.
I'm sorry, but hey, you know what, though? Puka is probably the nicest professional athlete alive right now.
He is. We are 4 picks away. We started with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, Pat, how far does Kyren Williams – have you ever seen Kyren Williams go in the top 12, or is it pretty normal for him to fall to mid-late second?
No, he can go in the top 12, but, yeah, you're normally scooping him right around where he just went, 203 kind of, 203, that kind of range. I try to grab Garrett Wilson anytime I can, but I'm fine with I have Kyren 13th in the ranking. So, yeah, I didn't think I was going to be that high on Kyren. He seems like the type of guy who ends up going, you know, too high from fantasy football years past, but he's pretty reasonable.
Top five via ADP right now: Nico Collins, Saquon Barkley, Marvin Harrison, Devin Achan, and Davante Adams.
We should make Pat take a rookie here. I'll have a hard
time. I just hit Nico. I don't want Saquon. I actually would be fine with Marvin Harrison Jr. But is he even the wide receiver one anymore? Someone tell me if we're drafting Nico or Marvin Harrison.
Nico's fine.
Yeah, Nico's fine.
Nico's only fine. That's why I don't want him. He's like the most fine pick ever. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
No, right. Nico crushed last year. He was like.
Yeah, Nico crushed. He had three good games. Yeah, he's amazing.
Oh, stop. No.
Three good games, yeah. Like 800 of his yards came in 3 to 3
oh
weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing player. What? Am I wrong?
He's clearly like the alpha in that offense.
There's a little man, quite literally and figuratively, yeah. By the name of Tank Dell. Nathaniel, as his calls him.
Too small.
And I really do I do think it was a career year for Nico Collins, probably an outlier year. I am a little surprised they didn't add anything. I guess maybe they'll draft a receiver.
Let me ask you this, Pat. Yeah. Who do you think had a higher yards per out run? Puka Nacua or Nico Collins?
Nico popped in every friggin' metric. I know, blah, blah, blah. Cool.
Cool. Indeed.
Yeah. It's because he had like 290-yard games.
It's pretty sweet in best ball. Now, the way this best ball format works is when you have a big game, the points are automatically slotted into your line. You don't have to predict it ahead of time.
Hold on. I'm writing this down. Hold on.
Wait a second.
That's an important aspect.
Most points. Okay, yeah, whatever.
Why did no one tell me this?
Don't set lineup. This is pretty cool.
This is important. This is why we had you on.
It is. I don't understand. Like, how is Robert Woods still on the Texans roster? That's like something I fundamentally do not understand, why he was not released. No offense to the guy. We don't want anyone to lose their job. But I thought the Texans should add a weapon.
At the same time, you were demanding the Texans released.
I feel like it's an outlier-y type season from Nico Collins. Tank Dell is amazing, but he is very tiny, and he is already very injured. I thought they should have signed somebody. I think they might draft somebody.
They brought back everybody.
Did they ever bring back Dalton Schultz? Like a 9
Well, and Noah Brown. Come on.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I feel like it's like a last year things worked really well. They turned Noah Brown into like a 3 spike week out of the year guy when he was like mostly like special team or wide receiver 5 level caliber player. Like,
well, Kyle, you know who they is? It's CJ Stroud.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying it's like Noah Brown. I also think like they did get good play design from their coaching staff.
Yeah,
but
it was fine.
I think the fact that it worked so well last year, like, I don't know. Maybe just try it again. It was working pretty well.
Try it again, but try it with more talented players, is my opinion.
Sure. I do think to your point, though, like they won't be stopped from getting a second or third round rookie if someone they like makes it to them. I agree with that.
I guess, I don't know, maybe they could be counting on a big step forward from John Mechie, who kind of had to ease into his career last year as he came back.
Xavier Hutchinson as well.
Yeah, maybe they're high on their they had resources to devote, and so to their credit, they did actually spend them. They didn't sit on their money. They invested them on defense, though.
And they could draft someone. It's a very deep wide receiver class, so I would not be surprised if they draft somebody.
Very deep wide receiver class, very deep wide receiver board right now. We have started wide receiver with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Nico Collins, who I just claimed wasn't good. top of the ADP board, his teammate Tank Dell, Michael Pittman Jr., Jalen Waddle, Malik Nabers. No one I feel like reaching on outside of wide receiver Pat Kareem.
I kind of like going Dell here.
Just you really do? Doesn't that mean, aren't we like totally screwed then if we don't get CJ Stroud? Isn't that how this works?
I think it's okay because we're going to continue to build out stacks. So like, for example, if Laporta were to come back, we could grab him. And then you have these stacks where you're betting on the offense to go off. But when you're trying to win a tournament where you have to finish first out of, I forget exactly how many 100 people are in this final, but you're going to have to beat a bunch of teams in a week 17 single week tournament, then you're going to need a lot to happen. You're going to need a lot to go right. So getting like betting on, let's say, 3 or 4 different offenses to all spike together, you're only going to have like two of those quarterbacks because the quarterback points are the most replaceable. What's hard to find is enough wide receiver, tight end, running back points to all hit those spots plus the flex. You get one good quarterback score, you're pretty good.
You just made all the intelligent best ball drafter points. Then I had like my lizard brain best ball drafter point in favor of Tank Dell, which is that he's better in best ball. He's a spiked weak guy, and we love it. We absolutely. And you made a good point. Say we get Laporta, we already have Amon Ross St. Brown. That means we get Hendon Hooker later, right?
Well, I believe they just re-signed Nate Sudfeld, so maybe that's who you're looking at.
Oh, gosh. Denny, what do you think of the three receiver start? We know you're always in favor of
Yes, I'm very pro wide receiver onslaught. I'm sorry. Look, this is just the phrase that they use. The best ball guys, they say, what do they call it? Piss bros?
Piss boys.
Piss boys.
Yeah, piss and yellow here.
We're back on the clock with three receivers. Do we go with Pat's plan, build the Lions stack, maybe with Laporta, or do we go with my offseason podcast plan and click yes anytime you see the name Derrick Henry?
I feel like we should give this one to Pat.
We've got to take Laporta here.
Yeah, please.
Come on.
Well, you click when you see Derrick Henry, you click yes. That's literally a government policy. See Henry, click yes.
I supported your Derrick Henry take, but I can't. We can't just add Derrick Henry willy nilly here.
I've been told by football knowers online that banning the hip drop tackle means that Derrick Henry will run for 2,000 yards this year.
Wow.
So we have to factor that into our projections, I think, because
seems a little simplistic.
As you I know.
I vibe with this. I feel like give like a 4% boost to anyone over like 6'3", 240, because like those are probably the guys who are most likely to be hip dropped. Like just go into the projections, find that spreadsheet times 1.04. Actually, this checks out.
Then someone else, another football knower said that won't happen because banning
the hip drop
means that they're going to have to take out his knees. So,
all right. You know. So I'm reducing his games played by like 4, but I'm actually increasing his per game by 4%. So,
I mean,
Danny, it seems like your process is like 90% stats and 10% Reddit for him.
Yeah, right. X.
No, stop, X. Give me a break, Threads. That's where you spend all your time now.
No, I spend an obscene amount of time on X being told that I don't know ball because I don't like hip drop tackles.
I'll tell you what, the hip drop tackle discourse has been having a normal one.
It's so listen, Derrick Henry, by the way, definitely has never been hip drop tackled. That's my contention.
Well, I love all the you don't know ball hip drop tackle comebacks on Twitter. Was like, so does the NFL rules committee not know ball? Like, they just banned the tackle.
Also, there were individual players who can't Kenyon Drake, Kyle Long, some others. Who were like, yeah, this is horrible. Like, the hip drop was horrible. We got to get that out of the game. And they were attacked mercilessly like by the hip drop fans.
Like the people who quite literally know ball, like, banned it easily. Seems like data point.
On Twitter, I think it was Ben Gretsch who was pointing out that because there was this whole, like, look what's happening to the game I love and grew up with. And it was invented in 2002, the hip drop guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, was that you, Denny?
I retweeted.
That was when Kyle was born.
I was trying. Yes, actually. I was trying to get that out there. And then, let's see, the counter to that was that, no. People have been tackled from behind throughout the history of football. And I said, yeah, they have been.
It's hard to argue with. That's a good point.
Not a hip
that's
drop
pretty, that's pretty ironclad, actually.
And so people, no, truly, most of the football watching public believes that any tackle from behind is a hip drop tackle.
I would rephrase that to any tackle of a player I like is a hip drop tackle.
That's actually, that's good, guys. Kyle. I agree with that.
Yeah. Real quick, though, because we're getting, you didn't let me draft the running back.
Nervous are you right now about getting sniped on Stroud?
I'm about to. I can't say on air what I'm about to do. But, we have Amon-Ra, Nico Tank, Laporta. So it is Stroud time, right, Pat? Like, tell
yeah,
me
we can Stroud take Stroud time. If you want.
If I want,
I say we push him. We'd be taking him a few spots ahead of ADP. No one taking from our pick to our next pick has a strong reason to take Stroud, given that we have.
I think we take him. To be honest, I don't think we're gaining much by not.
Yeah. I mean, do we really need Rome Adunze?
I love Rome Adunze on this team.
We got to get Pacheco, actually. Come on.
I don't want Pacheco.
George Pickens, yeah, he's going to openly be talking about like quitting football by week four with Russell Wilson. We're hitting
yes. I mean, he's going to enter the monastery by Halloween. Come on.
So we hit yes on CJ Stroud in this house. And we took a quarterback. We took CJ Stroud. And so now we get Hendon Hooker later. Everything's good.
You have
this is going to seem like a bit. Okay, sorry,
Pat. What's going to seem like a bit?
It's going to seem like a bit, but one reason to go ahead and take Stroud there is that we can take Joe Mixon.
Yikes.
Oh, I mean, he's going to have 65 receptions next year. So
he is easily. But before Halloween, he'll have 62 receptions. They're going to go full spread it out. They're going to draft another receiver and just spread the hell out of the field. Joe Mixon's going to be like lining up in the slot. I'm going to run the ball every.
He's going to be the RB1 overall in fantasy, averaging 2.4 yards per carry.
When you came on, Pat,
we talked about Joe Mixon's contract on the Legendary Upside podcast, but I still can't get over why they bring this guy in and then they give him a contract extension before he plays a single snap, and even in practice. They've yet to see this man in person.
Well, as the classic, just competing against themselves, like, yeah, it would be real bad if he had a big year, then reach free agency next year. Maybe just worry about that then.
The fact that they got him for like a 6th-round pick or whatever it was tells you all you need to know about what the market was for his services. And yet they were like, oh, we can't let him get to free agency. Everyone will bid against
him. I can guarantee you some arcane salary cap reason for this year. But
no, it wasn't. Like, I checked. He didn't have, like, this didn't functionally change.
No, it was like a sweet deal.
20 seconds. What the heck do we do? I barely even know who Brian Thomas Jr. is.
I think it's Joe Mixon is honestly. Mixon? Yeah.
I thought Mixon. We're doing Mixon. I didn't realize Mixon's ADP was already all the way up here. We got Mixon with Houston Texans.
Houston, baby.
You don't win the Super Bowl, we might be in trouble.
they can be our Miami team. Boat race a bunch of bad teams throughout the season and get sent packing by the Chiefs. We don't care what happens after week 17.
All right, well, now do I have to queue up Dalton Schultz, the John Mechie?
We're mega stacking this team.
Yeah, we're going to mega throttle stack. Giga stack.
Yeah, but he doesn't go until like 112 or something.
So, who is Brian Thomas? Can someone tell me?
He was LSU's number 2 receiver, bunch of big plays, not a high target earner. That feels
really fast. Really fast.
All I remember about Brian Thomas is, it's like 7:35 Eastern. I have on SEC Network, and like he's like clowning like some Bethune Cookman or whatever that school is guy.
That's the one.
He seemed good. He seemed good.
Yeah, the only reason to worry about Brian Thomas right now, I think, is he keeps getting mocked to the Steelers.
I mean, they usually have good judgment.
Not a good sound.
They have good judgment on receivers. It would be not a good situation.
No, yeah. Arthur Smith's situational deep threat is not what I'm looking for. Only situational because the situation is, they're passing.
So is Brian Thomas... He's not being mocked in the first round right now. Is he more of a second round guy?
No, he's locked in.
No, he's like locked into the first round. I think
he's more like top 40.
No, he's probably top 20, but he could slip to. But if like he were to fall to the Bills or something, they're racing to the podium.
Probably should have read Kyle's mock.
I forget where I think I had him to the Steelers. Actually, it's unfortunate that our favorite fantasy guys go to the Steelers, but they are in desperate need of a receiver. And yeah, they haven't had any problem spending on receiver. I don't think it's been first round picks, but they have fired their second and third round picks. Like you guys said, pretty successfully. What
are the Steelers like 19 or 20?
I believe 20.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know nearly enough about the rookies right now.
Here's a random question. Is James Conner still on the board?
Oh, yeah. Probably he'll be on the board.
Still on the board. And he was good last year. Like
he was really good. That's why I said I was perusing the numbers and I was shocked at how good he was last year. Let's get him.
Wow.
I mean,
his pick, we could get him probably in the 8th.
Yes.
What round are we in right now? 2, 5. We have 6. We're in round 7.
You could look up top. It says
I could see it there. No, I don't know. I don't know what it means when it says 7.8.
Yeah.
I don't
know Pat, this means. Is Pat's first ever fantasy draft.
That's just a serial number. It has nothing to do with the draft.
My bad.
What are we thinking here? All running backs at the top of the board. We're one pick away. Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara, David Montgomery. If we're going crazy.
Yeah, if we want our super giga ultra nuclear stack, Detroit, follow suit and take another running back. Maybe at least pass catcher combo. I don't know if we'll get.
Do we want to do DeMont, Pat, or is this bad?
I believe you're the leader of DeMont Nation still. So let's let's go.
Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, J-Mo. Should we do J-Mo?
Oh, DeMont. Don't J-Mo me. Come on.
It's pretty early for J-Mo.
I saw J-Mo trending.
But this is what happens. Like after kind of somewhere in the sixth, the wide receiver's done. It's just done. And you can come back and get like the Adonai Mitchell or Xavier.
Say, we got a couple of University of Texas receivers coming up.
Yeah, but they go more around pick 100. So there's this real dead spot in the draft, in like round 7-8.
Pat, can I ask you something about best ball drafting? Are you allowed to ever make a pick anymore where the sole criteria is better in best ball, or is it just all about stacking and all about?
No, I think there's an element to that. There's definitely an element to that. I think the better in best ball is it's sort of like it's somewhat about the spike week stuff, but I think you want to be thinking about the better in this type of best ball is really about prioritizing late season production, you know,
Season production. And I would say too, if you're drafting, if you're down like the number 3 and 4 receivers, draft them in explosive offenses. One way to be better in best ball is if your team scores a lot of points.
Yeah.
And that's how you're better.
Yeah, betting on teams that people are not that into and then surprise is a really nice.
That's true.
That's one of the quickest ways. I mean,
Texans last year were the perfect example of that. Like exactly. It was the rookie quarterback that wasn't the high priority one in the draft, and Nico Collins hadn't done a ton in a few years. Tank Dell's too small to play, and like one thing clicks, which is they get the best quarterback season, and they all go off.
We have 25 seconds. Denny's guy, James Conner, just went. It's all running backs at the top of the board.
Oh, Pat's favorite.
I take Jalen Warren here.
Yeah, Jalen Warren.
Jalen Warren, really?
Crane, I had a question about Warren. I read what you wrote, and I'm in.
Jalen Warren, by the way, is the classic better in metrics.
Right. Well, listen. my question for you is this. So with the Russ signing, I got really excited. Because I was like, okay, well, they're just going to feed these running backs and Warren will rise to the top and that'll be good for volume. But I feel like you don't really want the running back attached to a super mobile quarterback in Justin Fields. Does that worry you at all?
It doesn't worry me that much because you're talking about an offense that's going to run the ball so much that like it's like the committee doesn't really – I think Najee's going to have a role, but it doesn't really worry me. Because, you know, they're going to have a ton of attempts for all the running backs. I also think that Justin Fields, I mean, the mobile quarterback does, you know, it increases efficiency, right? It can be an improvement for the efficiency of the rushing attack. I do think it hurts his receiving. But the thing that I like about Warren is that he's not like a pure receiving back. He's like 215 pounds. This dude can be out there in all situations. I think you're hurt a little bit on touchdown upside, and you're hurt a little bit on receiving, I would say. But maybe you get a little bit of efficiency.
You are helped on sociopath who loves to feature his backups, though.
That's true as well. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess if you had me pick, I would say, yeah, start Russ. That's probably better. But I'm not like super worried about it. If it is Fields.
Yeah, I don't know. I get too caught up in this, but when there's a mobile quarterback who will run at the drop of a hat, like no matter what, it just makes me a little nervous about volume for running backs attached to that guy. And also like you said, red zone work, green zone work.
There's going to be rushing volume, right? Like it's Arthur Smith.
And Denny, I just think a lot of that's offset by when the defense is in such fear of the quarterback running that it's not a narrative. It does genuinely open up rushing lanes for the running backs then too. So I think some of that's offset by that. That's probably maybe too simplistic of a point, but yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I'm worried.
I mean, Russ threw to the running backs. All three running backs in Denver had a ton.
I think Denver was awesome first in running back targets last year.
Yeah, so for that.
That's kind of a Sean Payton stat, though, agree. Too. That might be a Sean Payton stat.
That might be Sean Payton, yeah.
That's his one idea that he still has. Here, Thomas out there somewhere. No laughs.
It's pretty good.
We're on the clock, by the way. What do? We already have three running backs. We're never drafting another running back, right? J-Mo time, and then J-Mo, and then run it back with Goff next pick.
I don't want J-Mo.
What do you think, Pat? I don't want J-Mo. Do you someone else you want? I'm putting him in the queue.
I would vote Trey Benson here.
What say you, Pat? You're the best ball knower. Tell us what to do.
Let's go Benson. J-Mo's just so J-Mo-y.
Well, we have four running backs now.
It's like Pat and I already talked about this a few days ago, but like, man, Rashid Shaheed's coming down the pipeline eventually. We don't have to take a fancy Rashid Shaheed with Jameson Williams, probably running less routes than Shaheed. Like, we don't have to do this to ourselves.
Trey Benson, one of the nine running backs in this year's class with a connection to Florida State. So that's all I know about him. And then he was hurt last year too, right? Is that correct?
He's a committee guy. Was he hurt?
I don't remember being hurt, but
I don't remember being hurt.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It seems like we're out of things to talk about. Should we just end the show before the draft's over?
I do think we kind of nailed these first nine picks.
Denny, who have been some of the fallers? You got some of the risers. Who have been some of the fallers?
I don't have that data right now. I only have I found an article.
Trey Benson, by the way, we have confirmed not hurt last year.
He was hurt in 2021. And then transferred.
Okay. Played. Man, we were all hurt in 2021. It was a rough year.
It was.
Still a rough year. We have not taken a receiver in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're getting a little.
Starting to get kind of nervous.
I was hoping J-Mo would actually come back, but.
The best ball bros are going to be not happy with me. I let you guys talk me into four running backs.
Really
guess who's gone, by the way? Oh, no, he's not gone. Jared Goff's still there.
Is Schultz available?
I have some fallers for you if you'd like. Falling outside of the top 100 per the Underdog Twitter account, Justin Fields, Troy Franklin, Justin Herbert, and Brian Robinson.
Schultz is right on ADP, Pat.
Yeah, let's grab Schultz. Then we can be done with tight end.
It's kind of dark. Let's grab Schultz. I've never heard anyone say that. I used to be one of the only people that drafted Schultz. Like, oh, come on. He catches 75 balls a year. He's like an even better version of Cole Kmet. What could go wrong?
Don't say anything about Cole Kmet on this show.
No one has ever wanted to draft Dalton Schultz until this very moment. But we'll see if this guy knows we got the ultra step. Man, this guy's got one of the shields. He's an actually good drafter. Whatever, we're taking Dalton Schultz. We have Dalton Schultz now.
Recap.
Guys, are we stacking the Memphis Showboats this week in UFL, or what are we doing?
Yikes.
I'll get back to you in 12 hours, Denny. I got some grinding
to do. Denny will be stacking Cincinnati Reds this weekend. We have C.J. Stroud, Joe Mixon, David Montgomery, Jalen Warren, Trey Benson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, three receivers. We have currently one more receiver than tight end, Sam Laporta and Dalton Schultz. I do love everything about the roster so far, except for kind of David Montgomery and only having three receivers.
DeMont Nation doesn't like David Montgomery? Come on.
No. Because, I mean, I actually think Jahmyr Gibbs might just become Mr. Inevitable this year. Because he glimpsed it more than enough last year, where they might just let him go inevitable mode.
That would be very fun.
I guess they won't do that, though. And they probably shouldn't do that. The goal now in Detroit is to get to and win the Super Bowl. You're not going to want to use up your most dynamic back during the regular season.
It's not like DeMont was bad last year either. He was good for what they asked him to do.
Yeah, it could be a little Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara from back in the day.
What should we do? Let's see. We've only got tight ends.
What receivers we got? We got to start drafting some receivers.
Yeah, I'm just going to not even highlight the other positions.
I would keep quarterback and running back.
No, it's Goff time. I forgot.
Goff time. Well, we should try to push Goff, I think.
All right. Then we'll backdoor stack some other team later.
Like, if we could get Lockett or Franklin here, that would be pretty nice.
All right. We'll do – do we want rookie Troy Franklin, or do we want 70th-year veteran Tyler Lockett? Who should we prioritize?
Wait, let me see the board real quick.
All right.
That's over on the right by your little icon there where it says
Roto-Vet. What do you mean?
You see that little grid there?
There we go.
Yeah, and then what's on the – can you scroll over to the that side of
there? There we go.
Done.
Okay. Trying to figure out
– whose team are you trying to look at?
I want to see what the Gibbs drafter looks like.
Gibbs.
So go up to the top because he would have gone first round.
Gibbs. Okay. He's got Garrett Wilson, Malik Nabers, Josh Jacobs, George Pickens, Hollywood Brown, Dak, Ferguson, Javonte, and Goddard.
Okay. Did he grab Jameson?
Did he?
No,
I got him right before.
Okay.
He did not grab JMO.
What does the JMO guy have at quarterback?
Let's see. JMO.
He's got Hurts. Okay.
Looks like he had Hurts. Yes.
I think we push it. I think we get a little aggressive here. Try and push Goff around the wrap.
How do I get rid of the draft board? There we go. So is it receiver or Goff?
Yeah, I think I don't think we're going to get Goff, but I do think we push it because we can. We have this massive bet on the Texans, and we have like Laporta at tight end is. Getting that tight end score is huge. Like, we don't need the Goff score necessarily. So, Goff's more of a luxury.
All right. Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey, Jerry Jeudy, Khalil Shakir. Yikes.
Look, I know, like, I like base level knowledge about Ladd McConkey. I am super confident that he's going to be productive wherever he goes.
I kind of feel the same way.
We can take Ladd. Yeah.
Is that too much? I mean, I'm pretty sure Troy Franklin's a more dynamic athlete, but
Ladd crushed the combine. And then
that's true. He's got like the quickness ones, doesn't he?
Yeah. He had straight speed too.
Isn't Franklin though like a size speed guy?
Not size. That's the problem.
I thought he was big.
He's like 176 pounds.
I mean, he's tall though, isn't he?
He's tall.
Yeah, he's like 6'2" or 6'1".
McConkey
is a guy who like. By like mid September, it'll be like you got to have him in your lineup every week.
All right. Well, we have him in our lineup.
The other thing
about this lineup is like we only have three receivers, and Franklin I think is probably a bigger swing. Like if it translates, he's pretty fast. He's not as fast as we were hoping. He's a 4.41. He's skinny.
He will fill out. He's not going to play 6'3" like 185.
I mean, hopefully, but. When does he fill out? Is it
he'll be 195 week one? He'll be 195 week one.
I hope you're right.
That's a lot of weight.
That is not literally 19 pounds heavier than he was.
No, he's listed at 187.
He weighed at 176 at the combine. I will say to his credit,
there's an event in Indianapolis.
Guys, at the combine, he listed at 176.
How can you project him to gain 20 pounds?
I will say, I'm literally writing up his blurb for the draft right now. Supposedly sick at the combine and already put on 7 pounds at his pro day, which was only like 2.
But he didn't run again.
So he's 183. He just needs to gain 12 more pounds between now and September. It's fine.
I was drafting a ton of Troy Franklin, and I have a bias towards wanting him to be really good. If you were sick at the combine, how come you didn't run again at the pro day? Because sick people don't run as fast as healthy people. So he put on 7 pounds, and then he said, it's because I was sick, and he didn't run.
He dropped weight to
get to 4.41, and then you put on weight.
He was so productive.
We're on the clock.
I'm not taking Shakir, I'll tell you that right now.
What about Shahid?
Shahid's fine with me.
Shahid, well, we're finally doing a better in best ball pick.
Goff went.
Definitely. Okay.
The dream's dead.
The listeners know, Pat looked on the verge of drafting Quentin Johnston.
I threw him in there. He's got higher more upside than Rashid Shahid.
Does he?
The Chargers are going to take an offensive tackle at number 5. This, I'm telling you, you're laughing.
He's bad, but he's on a run first off.
Hold on. You're going to laugh at me. I can guarantee you all Jim Harbaugh has thought about since he took the Chargers job was Quentin Johnston going absolutely nuts in the playoff against him last year.
I can guarantee you. Who Quentin Johnston is.
Quentin Johnston, you're the one coach in history who Quentin Johnston put up 160 on. You're going to remember that.
Because in college?
Yeah, it was in college. TCU.
College stats?
The Horned Frogs haunt Jim Harbaugh's dreams.
Okay.
Yeah, was that the semifinal, right, 2 years ago
now?
It was
the national semis.
You see over the top there. Can you click that little arrow so we don't have to see who was taken in the first round?
Oh, yeah. How do we get out of here?
That's the top arrow. The door to the right.
I'm only going to have to hold this thing.
I mean, there's a little bar you could scroll to, but we're not going to try and put too much on your plate.
There we go. No, not on the 20th.
That's too far. Now we're on the 20th, man. There we go.
Spartan back to back. What should we talk about? The team's pretty set already.
Now, Pat, you're not getting any vibes of the Urban Meyer experience with Jim Harbaugh. This guy couldn't care less about how modern football's played.
No, I mean, the big difference is, first off, his system has been proven to work in the NFL. The league is kind of boomeranging back around. Like, he had his success at the apex of the passing revolution, you know. Now the league is kind of boomeranged back around. Like, people are obsessed with beating the safeties, like, oh, I guess we should actually run the ball occasionally. And like,
but Greg Roman was coordinating in this era and was doing it quite poorly.
How poorly was it really? I feel like sometimes
pretty poorly.
He took a lot of the blame for
The other team knowing his play calls. So
That part was
bad. Yeah, so I hear what Crane's saying. I want to also believe that the Jim Harbaugh experiment where he's trying to make it 1987 again is going to fail. But I also know that Jim Harbaugh's never failed anywhere.
He never failed anywhere. And the huge difference between him and Urban Meyer is that Jim Harbaugh is like the most fundamentally sound coach like in existence. And
also, he cares.
He does care.
Yeah, he does care. That's true. He really cares.
I mean, Urban Meyer couldn't give a crap about how
he really couldn't.
We're on the clock, Patrick. Khalil Shakir, Jahan Dotson, Ty Chandler, Marshawn Lloyd, Justin Fields, Darnell Mooney, Xavier Leggett.
I'd probably go Ty Chandler here.
I was actually praying you would say Ty Chandler. I love Ty Chandler, even though I shouldn't. Even though Denny and I once recently talked about he's the most obvious bust, like on the board this year.
That was before free agency, though. So like,
it was before free agency, and it's also the 13th round.
Yep.
He did not get steamed up in this draft.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't get us wrong. He's an automatic bust.
I feel like
he was a good pick just now.
I feel like now that I have like a lot of gray in my beard, you know, I can say things like I'm too old for this Ty Chandler nonsense. I can't do it.
It's not happening. Urban, all Jim Harbaugh cares about is fundamentals. Urban got there. I mean, like he didn't know. He wasn't really sweating the details of like, who is Aaron Donald?
He didn't know. He didn't know.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's true. I think Harbaugh is going to really sweat the details of who his offensive linemen are. But
I'll say this about Harbaugh. I thought Harbaugh seemed kind of checked out at Michigan last year, even though they won the national.
They checked him out for a minute too. So
yeah.
Well, he kept checking himself out via suspension.
No, but they were so good. No, listen, that team was so good that Harbaugh was like, well, I just have to like press play. And they instantly win the championship, and I don't have to do anything.
He's like Madden franchise mode, just sim to the end.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Pat, who now? Jahan Dotson, Marshawn Lloyd, Justin Fields, Cade Otton. We have Jalen Warren. We could work on a Fields stack.
No, Fields should be going in the 200s. His ADP is absurd.
Cade Otton, Tyler Algier, Ricky Pearsall, Adam Thielen, this year's Mike Evans.
Wait, did you say I missed the Algier thing? He's going where?
He's right here. He's going 163.
Yeah, so
if you take Algier, we can be done at running back.
We could get 21 picks of ADP value in Jahan Dotson, which I think even Pat wouldn't allow us to do. Yeah. 21 picks.
I would allow us to do it.
I'm not correct. He doesn't.
Well, I can't. I have to listen to Pat.
Wait, how many quarterbacks do we have? One.
One.
Should we get more than one quarterback?
We have 6 running backs, which I think is probably a record.
We're done at running back and tight end.
All right.
So are we not? So who's at quarterback right now? Fields and who?
Yeah, what are our options?
Fields, Geno, Derek Carr.
Derek Carr probably for the
guys. It's getting really disgusting here. guys.
Oh, yeah. This is fun. Oh, yeah. We got a little Shaheed Carr action going. That'll be fun.
I guess sure JSN has been long ago drafted, right? We can't
Carr. JSN. Yeah, you got to get Carr in there.
Yeah, Carr's the guy, yeah.
Why?
But Carr doesn't go for another 20 picks.
All right, good. Getting him out of here.
Yeah, I actually can't think of anything worse for Pat Daugherty than to draft Derek Carr. I can't imagine that. He
blocked me on Twitter in like 2008, like when the service started. I wasn't even in the industry yet. Why is this college quarterback I've never heard of having me blocked?
Right. He was a freshman at Fresno State.
That was weird.
Well, you shouldn't have said that about David, you know?
No, yeah. Oh, boy. I said some stuff about David back in the day. Not going to lie about that.
Did not mind getting sacked, that David Carr.
Man, the receiver is bleak, man. Ricky Pearsall, Demario Douglas, Wandale, who just got drafted.
Ricky Pearsall is people like him because he's very cool, right?
Cool, yeah, I believe so. Pearsall, yeah. He does have cool vibes.
Right. But is he good or is he just cool?
He's kind of a game breaker.
He's like he's kind of in the Ladd McConkey-ish mold, I think.
He was kind of a game breaker.
He'll be huge on social media. He'll do like some outrageous touchdown dance the first time he catches.
Didn't Ricky Pearsall make like some big plays like on punt returns and stuff? Isn't he that kind of guy?
Did he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he made some return plays for the Gators last year.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Bottom of this. Yeah, no, it'll be like no one has more swag than Ricky Pearsall, and it'll be like him doing some sort of dance on the sideline, and it'll get 7 million retweets.
Him not checked into the game. So do we do Carr now, pair him with Shaheed?
Yeah, I think we can grab Carr. I would take Pearsall if he's there.
Put Pearsall, then Carr.
Swag God, Ricky Pearsall.
Swag God, Derek Carr. Too soon.
I'm really sorry you have to do this to yourself. I know you religiously you're opposed to Derek Carr.
Yeah, religiously, philosophically, morally, practically.
Yeah, you're aesthetically, violating your beliefs in a lot of ways here. Sorry,
that's fine. We're already pretty screwed at quarterback. The only way we get more screwed is if we took Bryce Young. I wish we could take JJ McCarthy, but we don't know what team he's going to be on. We don't have any Vikings.
Yeah. We do have we have Ty Chandler.
That's true. Do we want to stack JJ McCarthy and Ty Chandler?
No.
We can. I mean, the hope is we get Pearsall here. I think that'd be pretty sweet.
All right,
because we need the receiver pretty bad.
We need the receiver. We need some upside too. We don't have a ton invested in receiver. Draft dude on the clock. He's got 6 receivers already. I don't think he's taking Pearsall.
He could use another running back. I think he's got 3 running backs. Mm-hmm. All right, took Ray Davis.
There we go, Ricky Pearsall, now a member of the RotoPat Orange Dog Yellow Circle team. I haven't been very funny today.
Come on, man. No, hey, don't be hard on yourself,
sir. You've been plenty funny.
Thank you.
And
thank you so much.
You've been sufficiently funny, is what I would
that.
Say.
I needed that, Denny.
I would say not overly funny, but
so now we have to take Carr. What do we do if we get sniped on Carr? We have 6 running backs, 6 receivers, 2 tight ends. We still have 5 picks left somehow.
I'll tell you what we do, Pat. We take Noah Brown. We finish this mega stat.
No. It's too much. Stop with that.
Well, you know.
It's too much.
We'll do Carr. Brown will fall to us.
No, I'm saying as a backup plan, you know. As a backup plan, we lean into the bit.
Yeah, how has no one signed Tyler Boyd yet, by the way? When are the Chiefs going to sign this guy?
What's going on?
This is the flaw in the Quentin Johnston theory, is that if they sign Tyler Boyd, he's immediately taking out.
That's
taking
actually a really, 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 really good point.
Yes.
Not a shock they haven't. He's going to get a real contract. He might be the last skill player left who's going to get a real contract, Tyler Boyd. Derek Carr, if we don't get Derek Carr, who the heck would be our quarterback backup plan?
The deposit button.
The guy who just got taken.
All right, here we go. I can deposit right now. Actually, I'm going to put my hand over the credit card number. Now,
where are all the quarterbacks? The two teams ahead of us only have 1 quarterback, too. Did we just miss that everyone was loading up a quarterback?
Yikes. Someone's taking Carr, man. We're actually screwed. One of these people is taking Carr for sure.
No way. No one wants Carr.
Live to fight another day.
John's. What is Johnson on New Orleans' first name again? I forget.
Juwan.
Juwan. That's right. He just went. Let's say Jalen Johnson.
Maybe watch a game once in a while.
He's so big that I can't ever see his first name.
I have a friend who always, he just refuses to learn the first names. And, you know, he'd be like, Pat, who do I start this week?
Oh, I know.
Russell Wilson. Thank God. What a sucker. They took Russell Wilson when Derek Carr was on the
floor. Let's go.
Man, what a dumb pick. Derek Carr's right there for you. A layup. And they take Russell Wilson. Jesus Christ. It's a lot of
easy. That was real bad.
Crane, I have a buddy who will text me on Sunday morning. Should I start Johnson, Smith, or Adams? And I'm like, come on, man. I have no idea what you're talking about right now. This could encompass literally like 27 players who are playing.
Now, guys, the real bad news is we did not get Noah Brown.
Oh.
No.
And also, Juwan Johnson just went.
No, that's good. That's
who
good.
Who can we stack our?
Don't we have Rashid? We have Rashid.
That's all you need.
Hold on. Just hear me out.
Oh, no. I don't like where this is going.
Come on. Pat, he's a quarterback now. We can't draft Taysom Hill.
Just taped in Taysom. There got to be some scam Saints receiver out here still, isn't there? I guess not.
Yeah, A.T. Perry's got to be somewhere down there.
A.T. Perry down there somewhere. We have 4 picks left. I don't like these 20-round drafts instead of 18. Is it almost all receiver from here on out, Patrick?
I think so. I think we need to take 4 receivers and call it a day.
Devontae Walker, Tyler Boyd, Jalen Hyatt, Jermaine Burton, Elijah Moore, Malik Washington, DeMarcus Robinson. Just so much projection with these wide receivers. It makes me scared. I don't know what to do.
So what are our wide receivers? We have 6. Who are they?
We have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Ladd McConkey, Rashid Shaheed, and Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, I think we're going to probably grab a couple more rookies.
Should it be all rookies? Just go all in on upside?
We could. We definitely could, yeah.
I mean, the veterans here are quite uninspiring, so I would not mind.
For the very next pick, at least, we prefer Devontae Walker, Jermaine Burton, or Malik Washington.
I like Tez Walker and Jermaine Burton.
Yeah, I like Tez Walker more than Burton, but I think they're both good picks if we can make either of them to us.
All right, we'll see here. I'm going to try to remember anything at all about Tez Walker.
I can give you the bio on Tez Walker. I just wrote
it. Yeah, is he the analytics darling, or am I thinking?
No, I wouldn't say he's an analytics darling. So he was a FCS player in the COVID year. Season didn't happen. Goes to Kent State. Really strong breakout season at Kent State. Transfers North Carolina, and the NCAA just screws him and doesn't give him eligibility.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was that guy?
Yep. Yeah. In the middle of the year, they're like, buddy, we changed our mind. You're back into it. There was like a lot of lobbying to get him eligible, but he joined the team a month into the season. He was practicing with the team, but like, I doubt they're giving a ton of first team reps to a guy they didn't think would play all year. So, and he still had a really strong like baseline production season. His efficiency numbers took a hit, but like, I'm going to kind of excuse that as a guy who didn't play with his own team for a month. So,
right.
I think fit is going to be important with him because he's not much of an after the catch guy.
We are taking Tez Walker.
Yeah, Tez is just like straight burner downfield. He actually did some decent contested catch work, which doesn't seem to be like the scouting profile on him necessarily.
Wasn't he like another beanpole, by the way?
Yeah, he's a little skinny.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, I think he's almost identical in size to Troy Franklin. He's like the middle.
That's what I'm saying. That's not good.
You just said it was great. Troy Franklin put on 30 pounds.
No, I said Troy Franklin, if he gained 12 pounds, then we're good.
He said he was going to gain 12 pounds.
Tez Walker actually measured in at 6'1", 193.
That's
better, yeah.
I feel like this projecting weight gain is fraught with issues.
I
can project my own weight gain.
How easy is it to gain 10 pounds?
Come on, man. Yeah, all these guys have to do is have one child and they will gain 30 pounds.
Back on the pounds.
Sorry, these guys can't be gaining weight before the season. As everyone knows in the fantasy football community, you gain weight during the season.
Right, exactly.
That's very, 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 very.
Oh, man, Tez Walker and I have the same birthday. Look at that.
To be honest, I don't hate Tyler Boyd. He's going to be a top 3 receiver somewhere. There's going to be some weeks where he has 6 catches for 89 yards and a touchdown and will probably be one of our top receivers.
I'd be fine if he's like our last safe pick and the other guys are just completely.
Yeah, let's take Tyler Boyd.
this team could kind of use a guy like that.
Tyler Boyd or Elijah Moore or Dale, Ron Dale.
probably Boyd.
Boyd it is. Rondale is real bad.
I'll tell you what, if he had come into the league as Dale Moore, I would have avoided it. It would have saved me.
No, I think it might have like goosed his ADP. Here's a young man who has the confidence to go by Dale. the least swaggy name in history, he's going to go by Dale.
Dale.
Rondale, of course, 10 times the amount of swag as Dale. No one's going to debate that.
Yeah,
but
I think it might be more than 10 times.
That's true. 100 times.
But not nearly as much swag as Ricky Pearsall. Let's just
– No.
Yeah,
that's,
no.
Yeah, no. Ricky Pearsall, I think, didn't he do like the big he's a face paint guy. Yeah, eye black. Yeah, excuse me.
But well, I think the crosses.
He's very into himself because you could tell when he takes his helmet off, his hair is always pristine. It's always been.
Oh, yeah, he's one of those guys.
Yeah, it's all he gets a haircut within 15 minutes of kickoff. You can tell.
I'm glad
I'm looking at pictures and Denny is nailing it.
Oh, listen, I know this kid. I mean, not really, but I do. I feel like I know him.
You know his type.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, he must use some good product in his hair, like some sort of oil.
Oh, he has great hair.
For the shine.
This guy's hairline is intact. We're talking highly intact.
It feels like it's a little egregious. I feel like,
yeah,
it's like
it actually rock. Does. It looks like paint.
Like Tom Brady level, like it's down to his eyebrows.
It's like I've never seen a hairline plunge that far
down. Of course, the difference with Tom Brady is that he's 100 years old. And
so we said rookie wide receivers. Not really any of them left. Brendan Rice, Jamari Thrash, Luke McCaffrey. Oh my God! Please tell us no on that one.
Did Javon Baker go?
Let's see.
I think he did. I feel like I saw that in the stack before this.
He is gone. He's gone. Elijah Moore, DeMarcus Robinson, Rondale Moore, Kendrick Moore, Andre Iasovis, Jonathan Mingo bounced back under Dave Canales.
No thanks.
He's playing the Mike Evans role. Turns out not.
No, you're right. It'll be like, he reminds me a lot of Mike. Yeah, that's for
put
sure.
Put him in the queue just in case.
No, this is
the
bad.
Best ball strategy I've ever heard is an unstacked Jonathan Mingo. I've never heard a better best ball strategy.
Please don't take Jonathan Mingo.
No, not please Jonathan don't Mingo.
DeMarcus Robinson is going to be a thing. Let's just.
I'm fine with DeMarcus Robinson. Yeah, sure.
Honestly, A.T. Perry with stacked with Carr right. is it's also fine. I'm fine with Robinson if you guys want
to. Needed to hear any New
Robinson
Orleans
has a higher ADP if you want to. Okay.
No, wait. You said A.T. Perry? Come on.
I was saying A.T. Perry behind
Robinson. What was that?
I panicked. What do you think happened?
In the world?
Sorry. That was my fault. Yeah,
DeMarcus Robinson's going to have a
same names that I can't think.
A.T. Perry's not – he's going to be inactive for half the season.
No, that was our 20th round pick. I didn't mean to have him take him then.
What was it, the 19th round? I don't think it was that big of
a – Well, we're not going to get Robinson now, Pat, and the draft's ruined.
That, you know, it's because
I mean, just watch, guys. Just
the draft
just
will be saved when we get Jonathan Mingo.
No, please.
The draft will be saved when we get future Chiefs acquisition Darius Slayton. I'm putting him at the top of the queue.
That'd Jamari cool. Thrash is, I think, a draftable rookie.
There we go.
Thrash, you hear that? Patty's draftable. That's a big win for us.
At the top of the queue. That is a huge dub. Josh Reynolds is like the wide receiver one in Denver.
But I mean, I would say Robinson should be top of the queue if we can get him.
All right, fine. Man, Sean McVay does love this guy.
He loves this guy. They use him in the red zone.
Oh my God! All these people, DeMarcus Robinson, three receivers go ahead of him. These people are fumbling the bag. Please let us win. Oh, they're doing it. They're doing it.
Michael Penix, Jalen Tolbert, who drafted Andre Iasovis? Yikes! No offense to Big Thumbs 2511, but yikes.
Big thumbs, more like fat fingers. I bet that was a mistake.
No, I've never sweated DeMarcus Robinson until this very moment. All right. All's well that ends well with the A.T. Perry panic pick. All right.
This is a good team. What do we do with the winnings? We're going to chop it? Or
say all's well that I get to keep them.
Damn.
If I would have known that, I would have given you $3 before we drafted.
People can't see how much money is in my account of all the winnings I had last year.
Yeah, it says 40 there, but the rest of the zeros are cut off by the logo.
They're cut off by the Roto World Football Show logo.
Well, you just made a transfer to your bank that had to be reviewed.
That's right, reviewed by the IRS.
So.
That's actually right. Yeah, the bank examiner has come crawling back, this time giving me my house.
Jerome Powell had to come to your house, actually, to take a look.
Got my house back because of Tyreek Hill. We do thank him. Thanks, Reek. All right, draft is over. Let's recap for the. Hopefully, this was actually listenable. We have CJ Stroud, Derek Carr, Joe Mixon, David Montgomery, who for some reason doesn't have a picture, Jalen Warren, Trey Benson, Ty Chandler, Tyler Algier, the highest T backfield ever drafted in best ball, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Ladd McConkey, Rashid Shaheed, Ricky Pearsall, Tez Walker, Tyler Boyd, A.T. Perry, DeMarcus Robinson, Sam. Well, two should have maybe taken three tight ends, by the way, instead of another receiver. Sam Laporta, Dalton Schultz. Well, that is serious capital, at least. Patch, we've taken only 9 receivers and 3 tight ends. 2 tight ends seems kind of
The problem is the tight end gets super dried up. I mean, Darren Waller, I guess you could have taken a chance on, but he literally might retire.
It's Gerald Everett. I mean,
it gets really, really, really thin.
I mean, these are legitimate only backup tight ends left.
Backup tight ends, but I mean, it's a pretty physical position. My guy Cole Kmet could get hurt. Dalton Kincaid could get hurt. But yeah, I guess Pat's right. Draft's over. That was our team. We have final thoughts on our team.
I think it's a volatile team. I think it depends on PFF Bobby being aggressive for once in his life. And please do that because I like this team. I think it's a good, solid team.
It's a high floor team. It seems higher floor than I'm used to. I feel like usually all Mr. Upside drafter. That's not true. You're really good at mixing up. This seems more on the floor side of the ledger than the ceiling side of the ledger. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, we made a big bet on like
teams. So
we made a big bet on Houston. So, you know, in that sense, it's such a big bet on Houston that it almost becomes more about floor than ceiling because the odds that Schultz, Tank, Nico all hit our lineup at once aren't super high. I mean, you're kind of just like hoping you hit like a double or hopefully or a triple there, but you're not going to hit a home run there most likely. But I don't know. I mean, we have 2 really strong bets at tight end, and we did go 0 running back, you know. So if we get some of these guys contributing as the season goes on at running back, like Trey Benson gives us upside.
Ty Chandler gives us upside.
We have some contingent value upside at, Chandler and Algier. So I don't know. I think it's got enough upside. It is maybe a little closer to the high floor build.
Anyone sickened? Denny, are you sickened? You seemed a little sickened.
I mean, the A.T. Perry one was.
We're going to take him to the 20th inning.
I also think, I know we took Algier very late, and I'm not sickened by the pick, but I mean, this is not, you know, your grandfather's Falcons. Like, Algier is probably not going to be getting the ball very much at all this year.
Pure contingency. I
yeah, pure contingency, right.
Yeah, but there's a lot of value. Like this time of year, right? Like we don't know who's the number 2 back in Indianapolis. You know, there's a bunch of you could kind of go on and on with like we don't really know who the number 2 back is in a number of spots. And so the certainty that Algier is the number 2 back there and is good is worth something just for that contingency value. Whereas like you're guessing if you try to like take the Rams number 2, like
right,
who even is it?
But like Algier. Just, you know, I think we had to adjust the way we're thinking about him because I think people would start him as like a desperation flex thinking he's going to get goal line touches. He's not going to get within 10 yards of the goal line this year. Like that's,
Miles Michaelis just issued a leadoff walk to Mookie Betts to bring Shohei Ohtani, the gambler himself, to the plate.
That's good. I saw Trout had immediate home run. I was telling you all of his, he's not healthy. It's garbage. All right. It's garbage. Trout's back, baby.
Patrick, what do you got going on at Leg Up? When is your next stream? Might be an important stream. What do you got going on? What do you want to tell our audience about?
Yeah, we're doing Ship Chasing tonight.
Thursday, March 28th.
That's right. Thursday, March 28th, 8:15 Eastern. We're doing like a Dynasty Rookie mock draft episode, which will be pretty fun.
Where can people find that after it's not live?
YouTube. Right. Or the Ship Chasing, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool.
But yeah, legendaryupside.com got best ball rankings updated daily, and dynasty content rolling out there as well. Working on my running back profiles. Hope to have those out very soon. Quarterback profiles already up on the site. Working on wide receiver and tight end as well. All of that coming out in the next like week and a half. So yeah, if you got dynasty drafts coming up, if you want to jump in the best ball streets, legendaryupside.com, we got you covered.
Awesome stuff. Seriously, a must subscribe. Our friend, but truly one of the best in the business. One of the best ball players in the business. Like, not a bit, not just a writer, an amazing best ball player. You know, best ball wisdom, all offseason, dynasty wisdom, all offseason. Subscribe to Legendary Upside if you're not already done so. Subscribe to this podcast if you've not already done so. Pat listens to our a good vote of confidence for our podcast is that Pat still listens to it.
I do. Yeah, I very much enjoy the Rebel Football Podcast.
Thank you so much. So thank you to Pat. Thank you to Denny Carter. Thank you to Kyle Dvorchik. Thank you to myself. Man, I'm so embarrassed I kept calling Tez Walker Devontez, by the way.
No, his name is Devontez.
The name is Devontez Walker.
I know, but I mean, no one calls him that. I didn't realize it was Tez Walker at first.
I don't think it's as bad as you think. No, it's not as bad as you think.
It's because I didn't really realize it was Tez.
I mean, don't read the comments, but it's not as bad as you think.
For an amazing gang, I'm Pat Daugherty. We'll be back.